guess I can do some introductions when I don't have my back to everybody, but in the meantime, anyone have any anything we should talk about, any questions? Where did you just arrive from? I mean, aside from England.
America, and then Germany.
We just went right past me in Goloka down, Germany.
Maybe you could tell us something about Vamanadeva.
About?
Vamanadeva. I think it's Vamana Dvadasi today.
What is it? Did Maharaj give class about that?
No.
Is it Vaman Dvadasi? But then why would we be fasting?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Because it's Ganeshi today.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Right. But we fast for him today, right?
Yeah.
Half day.
Oh, Lord Vaman Dev. Well, one interesting thing is that if you make Vamandev your Ishtadev, then you'll become a dwarf in Vaikuntha. It's true. That's what Sanatana Goswami says. Even more interestingly is that, have you ever heard sort of the statement that Krishna incarnates in every species of life? Mm-hmm. No?
Yeah.
So it's true. I mean, that means, you name it, 8,400,000 species, and Prabhupada gives the number as well. Krishna incarnates in every species of life. And in those species that Krishna incarnates, he delivers living entities generally of like kind. So, for instance, he incarnates amongst the lions as a lion. He incarnates amongst pigeons is a pigeon incarnation. And of course others may recognize him, but at least the same species do. And when they or anyone else worships that particular incarnation, which may be, I'm just thinking, because I think Sanatana Goswami said also in pig, of course, is Ordvaha, is a boar. And so whatever it is, a bird, a fish, a tree, anything like that, then that's who the sadhana siddhas become in Vaikuntha. That's how they get to be trees, grass, and so on. Yam yam bhapi smaram bhavam. By meditating on that form of the Lord, and that then is their swarup, becomes their swarup, and they serve Krishna in those type of forms. And they, even in Vaikuntha, there are demigods, of course, spiritual demigods, and that's how, when one becomes, for instance, a devotee of Lord Shiva in the consciousness that he's a representative, he's a form of Krishna, and worships him as such, then you can get to be Lord Krishna and get to be Lord Shiva in Vaikuntha. Very interesting, isn't it? And since we're talking about other incarnations, before talking about Lord Ram and Dave, I was just reading, Sanatana Goswami says there are five, is Vaman Dvadasi or Vaman? Varaha, Lord Varaha, he talks about five different Varahas. He says there's one Lord Varaha who appears from Brahma's nostril and lifts the earth. There's another Varaha who kills Hiranyakashipu. There's another Varaha who is actually lifting up the earth, who's constantly holding up the earth, which means Vilibhu Mandala. Then there's another Varaha who appeared and spoke the Varaha Purana to the earth goddess, and with his tusks he leveled the mountains, the two high mountains. Seems like the mountains were too high, there were too many high mountains on the earth, so he leveled those, and then the earth goddess took the form of Varahi, and they had two sons, one of which was Banasura. And then there's a fourth one. Oh, and before, and he left by merging into a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev. So, where'd he go?
His mother's.
Very, very amazing. He mentions his three Nrisimhadevs. One who fought with the mothers of the Asuras. Then another one who killed Hiranyakashipu. And a third one who became a household cat. So you better check your cats. And Lord Vamandev is very special in many ways. One way that is really special is that he's a blonde. Lord Kapila is also blonde. Hiranyaksha was a blonde, which is pretty rare in India or Vedic culture, but it seems that it happened. If you ever go to Jaipur, you see that in the compound of the palace there's this tower. And it seems that, I don't remember which king built that tower, because one of his ministers had a blonde wife. So whenever she would go out into her courtyard inside the house, he would always climb to see her, because in the courtyard then she wouldn't cover her hair. I think even now, generally, Indian men get very bewildered by blonde women. I guess that's why they like the Russian girls. Chintamani Rakadasadmashin Kamatabriksha. But one very notable and striking feature of that whole Leela, of course there are many, is is Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj's reaction to being tricked, because he was tricked. And it sort of introduces a different concept of interaction in spiritual life. Is that Lord Vamadeva tricked him, and then after he tricked him, then he sent him down to Sutala Loka, lower planetary systems. And Bali Maharaj never complained, so he just accepted that. He wasn't so excessively attached to the Lord having straightforward dealings. Whatever Krishna did was fine, and of course ultimately it always worked out in a very unique way, and that Lord Vamadeva is the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. Another reason which is spoken by, or another thing which is spoken by acharyas, is why did Bali Maharaj become so favored? And even Jiva Goswami says, if one thinks that just because he gave up all of his material opulence, which he stole from the demigods anyway, you can attain the mercy of Krishna, then one is mistaken. Although he's given as the general principle of Atmanivedana, of full surrender, or giving up everything for Krishna's pleasure. Still, that's not the reason. The real reason? The real reason is that Prahlad Maharaj is his grandfather. And because of Prahlad, and in Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj then actually appears there. And because of Krishna's indebtedness to Prahlad Maharaj's devotion, first of all, that's how Bali Maharaj became a pure devotee. Grandfathers talk to their children, grandchildren, and favor them. So Bali Maharaj, Maharaj, wanted Bali Maharaj to become a devotee. He's in the family of demons, so he wanted him to become a devotee. So just by Prahlad Maharaj's desire, Bali Maharaj became a Vaishnava. He became a pure devotee. And finally, that was why Lord Vamadeva blessed him in that way. And gave him the blessing of his association, that he would become his servant. And it was solely due to Krishna being so indebted to his devotee, to Prahlad Maharaj's. So that's why it's good to be related to Vaishnavas or connected to Vaishnavas, because just by their mercy, one can become a devotee, and beyond that, one can attain the mercy of the Lord, which is otherwise, actually otherwise it's impossible to obtain, unless you get the blessings of a Vaishnava. And blessings means that you actually really please a Vaishnava. That's why we want to get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. And if you want to get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, then the best thing to do is to preach, to give Krishna consciousness to others. And of course, here is this Bhrigu Kshetra is actually I think it's somewhere in the region of Punjab. It may be in what used to be the area of Kurukshetra, the larger part of Kurukshetra. At least that's the earthly correspondent, although I think it simultaneously also takes place in the heavenly planets. It also takes place in the heavenly planets. And so back to how Krishna deals. Krishna deals as he wants. Usually this example of Bali Maharaj being tricked by these three steps of land, because he's a dwarf, so the three steps of land don't really appear to be a very significant demand, but it ended up being the entire universe. And also on top of that, Bali Maharaj's freedom. So don't expect Krishna to always play according to your own rules. He'll do whatever he thinks is necessary to make us Krishna conscious, which doesn't mean that he's always going to play straight. And for a devotee, then that's all right, if that's what Krishna wants. Krishna's perception of what's spiritually good for us is correct. It's absolute, whereas our perception of what's spiritually good for us is always tainted by the modes of material nature, and therefore it's not necessarily the right thing. And of course, having accepting that, that's called having faith. That whatever Krishna wants, then that's all right. So sarva dharma pratyuccha. And then that's the starting point. That's the real starting point for real pure devotional service. We shouldn't sort of try and preempt or give some kind of template on what and how we expect Krishna to act. Ultimately, Krishna will act for our benefit, even if it may mean that he appears to contradict himself. Like when Arjuna wasn't willing to fight, then with Bhishma Dev, then Krishna broke his promise that he wouldn't fight. Because his promise to protect his devotee was more important to him than his promise not to lift up a weapon. Although, of course, a wheel may have not been a weapon, but still, anything in Krishna's hands is a weapon. Krishna's hand is a weapon. So, just Krishna's will is a weapon. So, yes, Krishna may do that, and Krishna's main vow is that he will, if even once, it's in Ramayana. Krishna also says that almost identical words later on. Uramachandra says that Sakrit Eva Prapanoyas Tavasmati Vachati. He says that if someone just once says, "I'm yours," then from that point on, I take personal responsibility for their lives. And that's why Krishna says, "Then you'll come to me." So, if you said that once to Krishna, "I'm yours," then it's too late. If you hadn't, then you better think twice. Because ultimately, Krishna will do. He'll do whatever is necessary. Anyone have any questions?
I can't
hear what you're saying. Because the gopis are what?
They're lamenting, and you know, there's the whole expression of Srimati Radhika and the gopis of this lamentation. And then they leave their bodies in the play, in that scene. So, did that happen when Krishna left straight away? Because if he did, then when did Uddhava go and see the gopis?
That, in the Lita Madhava, the gopis left their bodies lamenting.
Like when Srimati Radhika and Vishakha go into the lake.
Just then. Well, she committed suicide, yes. Radharani.
I'm just wondering about the sequence of events. Because from the play, it seems like it happened pretty much after Krishna left, like straight away, not after.
No, the sequence is clear. The sequence is that happens after Krishna leaves, after Krishna left. And it's a Krishna left Vrindavan, and went to Mathura, from Mathura went to Dwarka, anyway, but ultimately Srimati Radharani couldn't handle the separation, so she committed suicide. When that happened, that's another thing, because it doesn't necessarily correlate with the chronology of Bhagavatam, where Uddhava comes back, although that's some months away, but then later on Balaram comes back also, and that's quite some time later, and of course Krishna comes back, but many of these things are taking place in inconceivable ways. Well, they're all taking place in inconceivable ways, and the very extraordinary sounds like someone's hungry. And so even sequence is not, although the sequence there is quite clear, but even sequence is not a very important thing. Sequence is just us. Chronology is just something we're hung up on because we think things have to happen chronologically. But because Krishna's in control of time, hey, Shambi Hari, he ain't zikadnyak lads. Because things happen, Krishna is the controller of time, so there's no necessity for things to go according to the way we see things. It's sort of something that we need to connect with. Eneka kichia rojasin itninch. This idea that we're able to understand things, or devotees used to know something looks apparently contradictory, it's just another way of saying that we're fools. And what do we understand? We don't even understand. As Prabhupada would say, you can't even see your eyelids. So what can you see? What can you understand? And that's something that we need to always keep in mind, is that our perception of even this material world is wrong, or it's very partial at best. Hónap óta sem Mihályt, hogy ebből kössék össze, de még mindig csak itt van. So we just see according to our own limited perception. We can't see very much else. We're very limited as to what we see, and we shouldn't have very much faith in our own vision of the world, what to speak of in our own vision of transcendence. So therefore Krishna says, touch Trinu, just forget about everything else and just listen to me. And then as our hearts become purified, then we'll realize, will have realization of some of these things, even though they may remain just like inexplicable or very difficult to conceive. Conversation in Mumbai, 1977, where Prabhupada is talking about the fifth structure of the universe, fifth canto, and he's brought some Sanskrit scholar from South India, or devotees have brought some Sanskrit scholar from South India to help Prabhupada, as Prabhupada wants, how to draw the structure of the universe. And so he's talking to the man, and of course it was a futile effort. The man didn't know how to do anything. But anyway, what Prabhupada's saying, he says, and they read the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada says, I understand what it's like, but I'm not satisfied with how to express it. So Prabhupada said he couldn't figure out how to actually put it on paper. Sometimes things that are in your mind are difficult even to put on paper. So it depends on Krishna consciousness, on our Krishna consciousness, and as our Krishna consciousness matures, then we'll understand things better and better. First thing we need to get realization of is that we're not these bodies. So as long as we're laboring on this bodily identity, I'm this body, it's forget about understanding real complicated theological principles and how they take place. Mielőtt elmegyünk, nekem kell, hogy Sámlata itten kiavítja a Simati Radharanit. Something else?
Gumarash, at the end of class this morning, Chandramuni Swami said something which is kind of related, that our understanding of the spiritual process is confused sometimes because we add the time factor.
You have to what?
Because we're adding the time factor. It's a spiritual process, so it's actually beyond time. But our understanding of the spiritual process is not proper because we're looking at it, we're adding time into it, and it gets confused. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on how we misunderstand the spiritual process because of our material.
I don't know, you may need to ask him because I can't quite follow the context of what that entails. But Sunday, probably my suspicion is we'll end up having a sort of all-day celebration for Radha Kund's disappearance. At least we'll take her ashes down to the Jamuna late in the morning, and I think the devotees will want to have some kind of remembrances in the afternoon. She was so much of a loved person that I think devotees will want to say some things, and others will want to hear what devotees have to say. Something else. We're coming to the end here now.
Guru Maharaj, this may be a long question or maybe a long answer, but just in relation to Bali Maharaj having surrendered to Vamanadeva, he must have had that faith, that full faith actually, to be able to surrender fully to Vamanadeva despite even knowing who he was.
Yeah. So, by knowing who he was. Well, he knew who he was because Sukracharya told him.
Yeah. So, just in terms of us, actually, when's full faith actually going to? When are we going to be able to develop the full faith?
Well, it comes along as your faith we always have, or at least faith, some faith we have, that the progress of Krishna consciousness also includes the progress of faith. And that type of faith is his type of deep, unflinching faith, is the faith of a uttamadhikari, a first-class devotee. Whatever Krishna wants is okay. Makes me happy, doesn't make me happy, doesn't matter. So that's, but ultimately, that's where we have to get to, because Vrindavan, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Vrindavan is the land of faith. It's the land of a lot of things, but it's also the land of faith. Vrishvasis have unswerving, unlimited faith in Krishna. And they're not because he's God. That's how powerful their faith is. Our faith in Krishna is based on the fact that he's God. So therefore, we know, okay, he can do anything. But their faith in Krishna is not because he's God. It's just because he's wonderful, and because they have it. So chant Hare Krishna nicely, and that faith will come. Okay, now I'll put this flute in here momentarily. Anyone wants to take picture, you can take picture now, and then we'll all have to leave so that I can start making the offering and sorting things out here, which is not going to be able to do with everybody in the room. So, actually, she wrote it down.